my sermon this morning is about the subject of heaven. God's able to do that, obviously, and we see that's true. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 8. Hebrews chapter number 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Find verse number 1, if you will. I've entitled the sermon this morning, What Makes It Heaven for Jesus? What makes it heaven for Jesus? You see, you and I spend all our time thinking about what make it heaven for us. We're going to look at it from a little different angle this morning. What makes it heaven for Jesus? Hebrews chapter 8, would you stand with me, please, out of reverence for the Word of God? I'll read to you in Hebrews 8, starting with verse number 1. It says, Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. That verse is about heaven. That verse is about God creating heaven. And look at me for a moment. It is my job to step into this pulpit having spent time with God. It is my job to step into this pulpit and to have walked in the Spirit. I think the congregation and God would expect that I preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's a limitation to that, because I could do my part, but if you didn't do yours, you say, what's mine? You are to walk in the Spirit. You are to listen in the Spirit. An unbeatable combination if the preacher somehow could preach in the power of the Holy Ghost of God, and if the people would listen in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, supernatural things can take place. Let's join forces this morning, and let's get the right thing accomplished in the next few minutes. Let me pray. Father, you're welcome here. I don't want anything to hinder your Spirit from doing its work. I don't want me to hinder it. I don't want any interruptions to hinder it. I don't want someone in the congregation to hinder it. Spirit of God, have liberty in this place this morning. May this meeting not just be another flippant day down at the church. May we not just get it over with so we can get out of here. But could we please meet with the God of the universe? May we walk away from this place today saying, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse that I just read to you describes heaven. It mentions these, it uses these words. It says, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. It is God that created this place called heaven. I'm going to tell you a bit of a personal story. Some of you will be familiar with the name that I'm about to mention. Some of you will not. But this week, A dear friend of mine of 27 years by the name of Ray Craig. Ray was in a tragic trucking accident. He drives 18-wheelers, drives big rigs. He hauls hazardous material. He was up in near Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania, and it was in the late night, early morning hours, and a bear came out onto the road. He ended up hitting the bear. His truck then went off the road and hit a tree, and it flipped, and then it caught fire. And God transferred my dear friend, Ray Craig, to heaven. His wife's name is Rhonda. He has three daughters, Becky, Sarah, and Debbie. My friend Ray Craig right now is in heaven. God transferred Ray to heaven, but I want you to understand something. God transferred Ray to a heaven that God had prepared for Jesus. Just so you know, that's even better. You say God prepared heaven for us. Well, he did, but you need to understand it's actually prepared for Jesus, and then we get to go along. If I were preparing for you, or if I were preparing for Jesus, which one do you think I'd put the most effort into? So I'm not trying to slight you and I as God's children. I just want you to know, when God created heaven, it's even better than what we sometimes understand. Today, I want to talk to you about heaven. We're going to approach it from just a little bit different standpoint. Usually, we talk about the things we humans would like best about heaven. And they're wonderful things. Things like no more pain. And it's true. There will be no more pain in heaven. Things like no more tears. And it's true. In heaven, the tears will be wiped away. It will all be over with. In heaven, no more death. Oh, and thank God. The pain and the heartache and the emptiness that the death of our loved ones brings to us. But there will be no more death, and that's important to us. In heaven, there'll be no more sickness. I was thinking about the people in our church that struggle with illnesses and sicknesses, and some that keep them out of church, and other illnesses that do not keep them out of church. But I will tell you this, when we get to heaven, it is very true. There will be no more sickness, no more pain. There'll be no more heartaches when we get to heaven. And the Bible even says there'll be no more night. And that meaning that the brightness of his likeness is going to keep the heavens lit. Jesus is so pure and so holy. But this sermon, it's really not all about the things that you and I would like about heaven. If I could, I'd like to show you heaven from maybe a little higher perspective this morning. I think I'd like to show you heaven in regard to what Jesus is going to like about it. Obviously, he's going to like it all. There's nothing about heaven, nothing about which you would dislike, or I think we're going to like it all. I know he's going to like it all. You ever heard someone sing the song, "Heaven to me, heaven to me"? No, we have all sorts of things that make it heaven to us. But let me tell you something. In that verse, it says, Jesus is what will make it heaven to me. But I want you to understand, God created heaven for Jesus. We get to go along. Heaven is wonderful to God the Father. Heaven is wonderful to God the Holy Spirit. Heaven is wonderful to God the Son, Jesus Christ. The text that we read a moment ago from Hebrews chapter 8, it talks about the majesty or the majesticness of heaven. Heaven is majestic because Jesus is the majestic one. I think we sometimes sell heaven short of its true greatness. We do indeed promote it as the ultimate place for man to go, but folks, it's not just the ultimate place for man to go when he dies. It is the ultimate place for Jesus, which makes it even better than the ultimate place for man to go. See, our shortcoming is that it is not just merely for man. It is for God and God's Son. Let me talk about heaven, if I could, for just a little while. There are people throughout this congregation who have had loved ones to pass on, some this year, some last year, some in the last 8 or 10 years. I look around this auditorium, and I could point to person after person that I know that somebody you love, somebody has passed on. They're in heaven now. There are people in here, their moms have gone to heaven, and their dads have gone to heaven, brothers and sisters and friends. And again, I could go through this auditorium. I remember when you'd call and say, "Hey, I've got to leave town. We've got a funeral." I remember us conducting funerals. a lot of people in here have had those that you love pass on to a heaven. And it's a wonderful thing that they went to a heaven that's great for man, but so you know, it's greater than what you and I realize, because it's not just great for man. It's great for God. It's great for Jesus. Be comforted to know that when one that is a Christian closed their eyes in death, they open their eyes in glory. They open their eyes in a place not created by man, and in a way, not even created for man, but man gets in on what God created for His Son and for him to live in eternity. First of all, let me say, number one, heaven was created for Jesus. Revelation 4:11, it says this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." There it says, the things that were created by God, and for who? For God, or for Jesus. All things. Heaven was created for His pleasure. The pleasure of heaven will be at a level to please God, not just merely to please man. And again, I say to you, when you go to heaven, you say, I can't wait to get to heaven and enjoy it, because it's going to be the most pleasing thing that man has ever experienced. I've got better news than that. It's going to be the most pleasing thing that God has ever experienced. And we get in on that. My dear friend Ray, that passed over into Glory Land this week, didn't just go to a heaven that's good for man. He went to a heaven that's great for God. It was created for Jesus and by God. It's a powerful thing. Wow. It was created for Him, and we're a part of the family. The Bible says in John 14, verse 1 through 3, He goes to prepare a place for us. That place for us is in a place created for Him. You're going to get a mansion in the place that was created by God for Jesus. That makes it even more supernatural. That takes it to an entirely new level. The Bible says, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man that which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Sometimes you and I glance off at heaven and you say, wow, there's a place prepared for us. And we almost put human limitation to heaven as if it's someplace where we're just going to enjoy it. No, it is going to be so super fantastic, supernatural. You're going to get there and say, I never imagined this could be like this. I kind of limited myself down there to what we might enjoy. Hey, bump up what you expect, because it's what God will enjoy. You see, it was created for Him and by Him, according to Revelation 4:11. It's His home. It's God's home. It's Jesus' home. In John 14, verse 1 and 2, it says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." It's in My Father's house. God's Father's house, that's where Jesus is. We get to move in. We're going to get a spot there. In John 14, 7, it says, "If you had known Me, you should have known My Father also, and from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him." See, this is God's house that we get to go to, prepared by God. For who? For God. Now, we're going to get, you know, you talk about, you're going to get you a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I got news for you. It's going to be better than a cabin. Going to be better than a cabin. Now, if you, in all your humility, say, well, I'll just take a cabin. Fine, you take your cabin, I'm taking my mansion. But I want you to know, this is in God's house. There's something about your house, being at your house. You know, there's no place like home. A home is a place of comfort. Now, let me explain. What is comfortable to you and I is one thing. But can you imagine? It is God's house where God, where Jesus is comfortable. Now, the level of comfort that's made available to God is extremely more powerful than the level of comfort that you and I might consider bliss. We get to go be comfortable at the level and in the place where he's comfortable. We're going to God's house. Growing up, there were two places that I loved. I love to be at home, and I love to go to grandma's. There's something about going to grandma's. It's a great thing if you get the privilege to go visit grandma. I was comfortable at my house. I was comfortable at grandma's house. That unique comfortableness. Listen, we get to go to some place that's better than grandma's house. We're going to get to go to God's house. And when we get there, it is his home. Mrs. Owens and I, at our home, and we've had this in one form or another for many years, we've always had a love seat. And it's where we spend most of our waking hours. If we are at home together, we have a love seat where we can both sit. And we recently, I think 2 years ago, we bought a new one. We sat there. We'll set a sweet tea off on the side, and we sat there, and we'll hold hands. We'll read there, and we just sat there and enjoy it. It's our recliner. Now, it's dual recliners. You say why? No woman wants to put her feet up where they belong, and no man agrees exactly with the woman on how far back that chair ought to go. But the good thing is our hands meet in the middle, and we can hold hands there. I got to thinking about this. You know, when we get to heaven, God's going to have a throne. I've been wondering if it could possibly be a recliner. I mean, you get really tired running the universe and everything, and we get this idea that it's all rigid, you know, like the Queen of England, and everybody's all real starchy. I just wonder if he doesn't have a way to prop his feet up and put a sweet tea right there on the table and say, come on in, come to my house and enjoy my house. Folks, don't get the idea that this place is going to be starchy and nasty and you're going to feel like you're all tied up emotionally. No, we're going to God's house. It's a real place, and he's not just preparing for you and me. It was prepared for Jesus, which means the preparation. He's going to roll out the red carpet. You're going to a place of royalty that has a softness, and it's just going to be a wonderful place. It's his house. Home is important, but the home for Jesus is in heaven. So, what makes it heaven for Jesus? Well, it was created for him. It was his house. I think Jesus really enjoys this part. Old smutty face, the devil, Lucifer, Beelzebub, the jerkweed. He won't jerkweed. You got to be able to understand the scripture like I do to come up with words like that. Exegesis of Old Testament words that have to do with Lucifer. Hey, the devil won't be there. And we like that. Well, I got news for you. God really likes that. See, you're not the one the devil turned on originally. God is. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Hey, you understand, Satan got kicked out of heaven. God created a heaven that was Satan free. Now you and I, we get to go there. And thank God, when we go there, the devil can't get to us anymore. But I've got news for you. That's super important to Jesus. You say, why? Jesus wants rid of him. Jesus doesn't want to be around him. Jesus doesn't like what the devil is and what the devil stands for. You think you're disgusted with the devil. How do you think Jesus feels? We sing in children's church and on the bus, the devil won't be there in my Father's house. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, the devil won't be there in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. You know what? The devil won't be there to mess with me. The devil won't be there to mess with you. But you know who really likes it? Jesus. I can picture him in heaven saying, the devil won't be here in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Why? Heaven is a supernatural place. Heaven was not just an add-on for man. Heaven has been for God and for Jesus and was created in a supernatural way, not just for the pleasure of man, but take it up a level, take it up a whole bunch of levels. It's created for Jesus, and the absence of the devil in heaven is important to me and it's important to you, but it is incredibly important to the Son of God. You know, Satan's out to get Jesus, ultimately. Do you know why Satan tries to hurt you? Because he thinks if he can hurt you, it hurts the one who loves you most, which is Jesus. You may get the idea that you're so important that the devil wants to take you to hell because you're so important. No, I hate to break this to you. The reason the devil wants to take you to hell is because you won't get to go to heaven and praise Jesus, and Jesus is what's most important. You getting saved is very important because you were originally created to praise God in eternity. If you don't get saved, you'll die and go to hell where you will not be able to be in the presence of God and praise Him. And the devil's out to stop that. You have to understand the devil hates Jesus. But Jesus, this place called heaven, it has a protection to it. When we get to heaven, Satan has no more access to us. But when we get to heaven, Satan won't be there to bother Jesus. And again, you think the devil has caused you problems. You gotta stop and realize what the problems he's caused Jesus. Jesus is holy. Satan wants to hurt him. You know, Jesus, we are going to go to heaven and be perfected, not because of ourselves, but because of what Jesus did for us. And I'm glad the devil won't be around to mess up the heaven that was not just created for you and me, but it was created for Almighty God. The absence of the devil is great for us, but it is magnificent for the Son of God, who deserves to be away from Him. May I say, I think heaven is going to be wonderful for Jesus because it was created for Him. It's His house. His archenemy, the devil, won't be there. Ah, here's something that's fun. And this is far more down to our level. Jesus gets to be with His family. Ah, that's where you and I come in a bit. We've been adopted. We're a part of the family. John 14:3, it says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus said, "I'm going to save you. I'll come get you. You'll either transfer through passing death, or I'll come back and get you, but I'll get you all up there sooner or later. Where are we going?" "You're coming to my house." "Well, who all's invited?" "Anybody that wants to come that'll get saved. Everybody but you know who, the old devil. He is not coming." And I think heaven is important to Jesus because He gets to spend time with His children. We get to be with Him. But this is hard for me to understand. I could see why I might enjoy being with Him. But I don't think I'll ever understand why He would want to be with us. But I am glad He wants to be with us. Believe it or not, He wants to be with you. Think of the price He paid to make a way for you and I to go to heaven. And thank God He paid that price. It will be a rewarding thrill for me and you to get there to be with Him. But think of the price that He paid and what a rewarding thrill it will be when we get there for Him. You and I say, "Can't wait to be with Jesus." The truth of the matter is, the most spectacular thing is Jesus is going to get what Jesus wants. I'm sorry to say, heaven's really not just about me and you. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The sweetest name I know. At our house, we enjoy Christmas. We enjoy celebrating Christmas. There's just something getting together with the family at Christmas. I tried to figure out ways. How do you describe the get-together in heaven? Well, it's going to be 10 times better than Christmas. We enjoy Thanksgiving. But I'm going to tell you, in heaven, it's going to be 10 times better than any Thanksgiving and 10 times better than any Christmas all added together. The thrill will be Jesus enjoying us. Now, we're going to enjoy Him. I remember, Jesus wants to be with His family. That's what He wants. He wants to be with us. You know, I want to explain something to you. Those of you who have had loved ones that were saved, that have passed on, I'm not trying to be heavy on your heart at all. I hope this encourages you somehow. That's where they are. Who here has a loved one that passed on and transferred to heaven? Would you raise your hand for me? Okay. Put your hand down. Let me explain something to you. I'm going to tell you right now why they're gone. You've wondered. I'm going to tell you why. Jesus wanted to be with them. Jesus. You say, I just don't understand. Jesus, he just wanted to be with them. You say, but I love them. So did he. Well, I wanted to be with them. So did he. They are so precious to me. They're precious to him. And if you're saved, we're going to transfer someday too. You say, why? Jesus wants to be with us. But I am sure, if in your heart you've wondered why, I can give you 100% assurance. I am sure your loved one transferred because Jesus wanted to be with them. Oh, heaven is not just about me and you. It's got a level of wonderful, miracle, powerful, just incredible resource. But it wasn't a resource that was at a human level. It's at a supernatural God level. It's God's house. It was all things were created for Him, which means you and I get in on a place that, hey, it's for us, but it was created for the God of the universe. It was created for His Son, which makes it even more powerful than what we dream. You know, I think Jesus enjoys heaven for another reason. Not just because His children are there. Not just because the devil won't be there. Not just because it's His home. Not just because he created it for Himself. But I think He gets to watch His children's faith become sight. Their faith becomes sight. In Hebrews 11:1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I think when someone transfers from here to heaven, I just have this hunch that Jesus is standing there at the pearly gate, waiting for them to step in because of the thrill, the look on their face. You see, you ever have some fears about eternity and, you know, the process of getting from here to there? There's some scary things. But heaven's real. And sometimes our faith wavers a little bit and we wonder. I think Jesus, He waits at the pearly gate. And when my dear friend, Ray Craig, passed away at the beginning of this week, Ray closed his eyes in a blink in death and opened his eyes in heaven. And when he did, Ray went, whoa, 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 oh, oh, it is, oh, this is, whoa, this is better than what I ever did. Hey, look at that. Whoa, it's real. It's real! Oh, this is incredible! And Jesus in the background was back there going, oh, there's another one. I love watching them do that. I just love watching them pop in here and figure it out. I've not been lying to them. It's real! That's when our faith becomes sight. I've conducted over 200 funerals in my lifetime. I try so hard to comfort people in a unique and a special way when we go to that place and we're remembering. Let me tell you something, folks. Heaven is a real place. And it's better than mortal tongue can describe. It's better. There's more. It's bigger. It's bigger. You say, that's not a word. Stay out of my preaching. It is now. I think Jesus waits by the pearly gate for one of his children to be promoted. He can't wait to see their faith as their faith becomes sight. Death's fears becomes faith's victory. As Jesus gives them a tour of a real heaven, he is thrilled to say, and let me show you what else my Father created for me. And then puts his arm around you and says, well, for us. Well, for us. There's something else that I think Jesus really enjoys about heaven. There's no corruption there. No corruption. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth or rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I was thinking of Uriah and Aisha. Some months ago, somebody had broken into their home. Scary. I felt so bad for them. I want to tell you something, Uriah, when you get to heaven, there'll be no break-ins. You never have to comfort your wife and daughter again about something like that, because in heaven, the security system is set up by God for Jesus, not just by God for me and you, for Jesus. You talk about high-level security. That's high-level. That's better than having our FBI. And our CIA, that's God's security. And the Bible says there's no corruption. When we get there, your bodies won't deteriorate anymore. It is his thrill when we are perfected and we get those glorified bodies. That's his thrill. No corruption of silver, never tarnished again. No corruption of flowers. The flowers will always be blooming. I watched Betty Andrews planted the flowers that are all outside here. And are they not gorgeous? Those flowers, they've just taken off and bloomed. I would speculate she's worried about one pot of flowers. On the very end down here, I watched her today. I've watched her two or three Sundays in a row. All the way down on the end, there's a little pot there, and they're struggling. They're struggling. Everything else is blooming like the Garden of Eden out there. Evidently, Brother Andrews is the one that planted the one down on the end, and she planted the rest. He's used to tearing things down. She builds things up. But I watched her again today. She walked by there. She played with those things. I've seen her do it a couple times because they're not blooming right. Well, I'll tell you what, Betty. In heaven, you'll never have to worry because all the flowers will bloom. They won't wither, the Bible teaches. They bloom and they bloom on. No corruption. No corruption of the water. The river ways are pure. Your body in heaven will work better than it's ever worked before. One thing Brother Robert and I talk about all the time. We say, how you doing, Brother Robert? He said, I'm not doing as good as what I'll do when I get to heaven. We probably say something like that once every 2 weeks. No corruption. From day to day, we face the corruptions of this life. But in heaven, there'll be no corruption. That's where Jesus lives. And you and I say, we're going to get a transfer to a wonderful place that God created for man. You need to take it up a level. It's a wonderful place where God lets man came that God created for Jesus, which makes it all the more a wonderful place. I'm almost finished, but I had another thought that I want to share with you. I think heaven is more precious to Jesus and so wonderful to him because of this. He's in charge. He's in charge. The ultimate leader will run this place I've described to you. In Luke 11:2, it says, he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Do you know who runs the place we're going to? The perfect leader. It's pretty hard to find good leadership. They are either so soft, they're mamby-pamby, sissy britches, or they're so hard, they're as mean and rude and harsh. God has the strength of the universe at his disposal, but the love of eternity deep in his heart. It's all the power that it takes to take care of you and to protect you and fight the devil, and all the love that it takes to save you and to fulfill every emotional need that you have. When you get to heaven, you will have the ultimate leader. It won't be a Democrat. It won't be a Republican. God knows it won't be a socialist. When we get to heaven, there will be perfect leadership. When we get to heaven, there will be perfect justice. You say, I was mistreated. It may happen down here, but it's never going to happen up there. You say, I've not been loved right. It may have happened down here, but it's not going to happen up there. In heaven, Jesus will enjoy total peace. You say, why is he going to have so much peace up there? He's going to be in charge. He's going to call the shots. He's going to make the decision. And so you all know, if you would like to get more peace in your life, let him call the shots. The more you can let him call the shots while you're down here, the more of heaven you can experience while you're down here. Proper submission is a part of that peace. In heaven, you will watch him at his best. You see, you all do know that Jesus wants you to do a lot of things, but you don't even listen to him half the time. When we get to heaven, he'll want something of you, and you will do it. And he'll say, oh, that is so refreshing. And by the way, those things that he wants you to do down here are best for you. He's not trying to take anything from you. He's trying to make things better for you. Oh, you will see and experience leadership. You will see and experience Jesus Christ running this place called heaven. He'll love it. In heaven, you will see what you were missing by not obeying him down here. And some of you will say, oh, wow. You mean if you do this, it turns out that way? And Jesus said, yeah, I tried to tell you that down there, but you didn't trust me. You didn't see it my way. You were smarter than me. You had a better plan than me. You had a hard heart. You had a thick head. In heaven, I believe this, he will be thrilled with your 100% submission. Because he longs for that. And he deserves that. Hey, listen. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to highly recommend something to you. You ought to get saved and go to this place where we're talking about. Now, you can't get there unless you get saved. But if you get saved, you can go to this place called heaven. And it's not just a place that's good for you. It's a place that's great for Jesus Christ, which to me is so much better. Tell you a story and I'll be done. You may have heard me tell it before, but if you have, act like you never heard it. A little boy went into a store with his mom, and the proprietor of the store came over, a cute little fellow, probably 3 or 4 years of age. And the proprietor, they had a big old jar with jawbreakers in it. And the proprietor came over and took the lid off that jar, and the mom and the boy were standing there, and the proprietor said, son, stick your hand in that jar and get you out all the jawbreakers you want, free. Grab a handful and stick them in your pocket. And the little boy just stood there timid with his hands behind his back, and the proprietor said, son, go ahead. Mama, it's okay. He can. And his mama said, go ahead, son. Grab you a handful of that candy and put it in your pocket. And the little boy just stood there with his hands behind his back. So the owner of the store said, oh, here, let me take care of that. And he stuck his hand in that jar, and the owner pulled out a big old handful of candy and put it in that boy's pocket. And the boy said, thank you. They walked out. The little boy and his mom were walking to their car. And mama kind of pulled his arm a little bit and said, Mikey, that man told you to grab a handful of that candy. Now, Mikey, why didn't you grab a handful of that man's candy? And little Mikey looked up and said, because his hand's bigger than mine. And folks, God says, glance at heaven, and we do, but when we look, we have a certain human limitation to what it's really all about. You see, God's hand is bigger than ours. God's vision is bigger than ours, and heaven is better than what we can imagine. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you've got to get saved and go to this place with us. Hey, Marie recently faced a death. But heaven's a wonderful place. I think of Ray Craig, my friend. I'll do his funeral later this week. There's a peace that comes to my heart when I'm able to say, I know why your loved one's gone. Jesus wanted to be with him. I think of Melanie, Rachel, Cynthia. Richard Sword went to heaven. Jesus wanted to be with him. David, your mama, Judy, Jesus wanted to be with her. Mrs. Manley, Jesus wanted to be with her. Wayne, been a rough couple months. But mama took a transfer. She went to heaven. I could go around this room and just say to you, heaven is a wonderful place, even better than a heaven created for you. Because all things were created by him and for him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this: if you died today, do you know for a fact you would go to heaven? If you say, Pastor, I do not know that I'd go to heaven if I died today. I need to be born again. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand so that I may pray for you? I'll not embarrass you. But you would say, I'm not saved. Don't know for a fact I'm going to heaven when I die. Pray for me, Pastor. Okay? All right, good. Who here then would say, Preacher, God's helped me today. I have been a little lonely and maybe even a little fearful. Someone that I love has made that journey to heaven. But today, I was encouraged. I was encouraged to know it's even better than what I thought. And God has helped me. And I see from the sermon today that God loved that one of mine in a powerful way. And God has spoken to my heart and helped me with it. Would you raise your hand and say, sure, God has spoken to me. Help me. You may put that hand down. If you need this altar, you ought to come. If you need to be saved, you come. Maybe you need to come and pray for someone, you come. There might be somebody in here, maybe a mama, a daddy, or someone that you love has passed. Maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you ought to come thank Jesus. Maybe you ought to just come up here, get on your knees and say, thank you, Jesus. It's even better than what I thought. Oh, their faith became sight. I hope that you'll get a little glimpse of sight to add to your faith today. The pianist is going to begin to play. We're going to stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Everyone standing, if you will. If you need to be saved, you come. Hey, if you've been saved and baptized and you need to join the church, you come. Do you need to just come and thank the Lord for heaven? Thank the Lord for what he's done for your loved one. Saved, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are saved, thank God for heaven. Hey, and heaven, it's worth telling somebody about it. Some of you need to begin to witness and tell others about this heaven to which we get to go. One more time through the song, Mrs. Young. Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man that which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Your loved one is in a better place. Matter of fact, a more wonderful place than you ever imagined, because we get the idea it was created for us. We get to go to a place that was created for Him. Better yet,